Changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. Sorry, I was distracted by the gorgeous new curtain we have in the studio that I so much so I forgot to turn on my volume levels. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, December 12th. I'm your host, Josh Engel, and we're so pleased to have Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation of West Georgia, in the studio with us today. We're going to talk about a few things, including the Connector, the innovative platform aimed at linking those in need with local nonprofit agencies that can provide assistance, as well as possible needs that are picking up here in the winter, the holiday season, and of course, a lot more. We are live streaming this morning's program on our News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for the great and powerful Kim Jones, yeah, hop in the chat. I'd be happy to read those out to her. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm just pulling up the live stream here to make sure I don't miss any questions. Mm-hmm. So how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. We had a great Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Eat too much?
Of course, always. I mean, if you go to my mom's house, I mean, that's just a given. She's a great cook.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, why don't we start first?
Okay.
How about we start first by just sort of filling in the gaps for some people who may not have tuned into a previous program. Could you please tell folks a bit about yourself?
Sure.
And then a bit about the Community Foundation of West Georgia.
Sure. Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation. I've been there for, at this point, I think it's 22 years at this point. Been there a while. But basically what the foundation does is help people with their charitable giving. That takes on a lot of different fronts. I mean, some people maybe don't really know what's going on in the community and they just want to help, and so they can come to us and we can kind of help direct that. But basically people place funds with us or make donations through us, and then we help them find the greatest needs in the community. Or if they have a passion about a particular area but maybe don't know a nonprofit that fills that need, then, you know, we do that.
Excellent. Excellent. Awesome. So, could you give us an example of some of the organizations that the Community Foundation has partnered with, has supported over these many years?
Oh, goodness. At this point, it's literally too many. We would be here all day, and yeah, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. I used to tell, because we run grant programs, so we run five different grant programs, some that were established by donors, and then the Community Impact, which is the biggest one, where we take grant applications from Carroll, Harrelson, Heard County. That's our geographic footprint. But we have donors that give money literally all over the world and all over the country. So, but we partner with a lot of them. You know, I guess I would say in the last year or two, the foundation has kind of made a shift. Previously, we were kind of more of a transaction. You know, donor says, hey, you know, here's this money. I want to give it to XYZ charity. They get the tax break coming in. And we've kind of transitioned to more to a transformational. I mean, what with our community partners can we really kind of, quote, move the proverbial needle? And so that kind of led to us doing door-to-door surveys of the extended stay hotels about 3 years ago. We have also now, as you mentioned before, developed this software called the Connector. So it's, you know, we really just kind of look for those partners. And I will say the West Georgia area, we are extremely fortunate. Part of what we do as a service for our donors is we do a due diligence process. We look to make sure they're up to snuff on their filings with the IRS and also with the Secretary of State's office. And in the history of me doing this, I think we've really only had like two or three. I mean, two actually were fraudulent charities in our community. Needless to say, they're not here anymore, thank goodness.
I bet.
Kim
ran them out of town.
I don't know if I'd say that, but when I called the IRS and they said, no, this doesn't exist. And I'm like, well, they think they do. And a lot of times, and we have one that we're working with right now who through, you know, just a lot of times this happens in nonprofits. They pass the paperwork to the next person. They don't really understand everything. And so they've had a lapse, but they're not a fraudulent charity. They just got to get their paperwork, you know, up. And so we try to be a service to the nonprofits too, to try to help them stay in the good graces of the IRS and Secretary of State's office.
I do think that extra effort that you put in to vetting these organizations, to sort of getting an understanding of what they're doing. And of course, you know, they got to fill out grant requests and fill out all the paperwork to adequately explain what they're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. I think that has to have gone so far in terms of, you know, procuring the legitimacy of this organization, like at a large scale. People can see that not only does the Community Foundation assist and partner with so many different organizations, but you guys do the due diligence to make sure that donated funds aren't being misspent. They're going to an organization that needs it and that will be doing good here in our local community.
Right.
And you know, I think that this is probably a good time to bring this up. You know, it's towards the end of the year, and I'm sure we'll touch on this again by the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I imagine folks still have until the end of the year, December 31st, to make gifts, make contributions to the organization, which if you make contributions to Community Foundation, in essence, you are truly supporting a lot of nonprofits.
Yes.
Could you speak a bit to that?
Sure. Well, a couple different things is we will take any appreciated asset. And so right now, you know, the one thing we've done a lot of lately has been working with donors who've got stock that's greatly appreciated. In fact, I had a donor call a couple of weeks ago and they were sending us some stock. And she said that their accountant told them, said, you can't afford to sell this stock, you know, because the tax implications for this would far outweigh. And so, you know, the great thing is they're going to get to do a lot of good with that appreciated asset. So obviously we take cash, we take checks, you know, anything. The only thing, you know, I worry, you know, I joke and say at some point somebody's going to bring me grandmother silver, you know, and I had to figure out how do we do that. We actually got some sales burn stock one time. We had to figure out how to liquidate that. But basically, you know, the donors, you know, they put those assets into the foundation in a fund, and then we invest those funds fairly conservatively. And so then they get tax-free earnings that they have to give away. And right now, you know, knock on wood, hadn't checked the market as of yesterday, but we're up about 12% for the year. So that's 12% on top of what they put in there. Back to your original question, as long as they get it to us by 12/31 or postmarked by 12/31, then yeah, they get the tax implications for tax break for this year. The other thing we're seeing a lot of is once folks get to be 72.5, they have to do the required minimum distributions out of their IRAs. And so for some people, they've done very well, and so they don't necessarily need that money at this point in their life. And so the government will allow them to donate that to a charity, so it never shows up on their quote-unquote personal balance sheet. It goes straight to a charity, or they can have it at a fund at the Community Foundation, and then that gives them money, you know, for the next 12, 18 months. Because sometimes, you know, this happens with donors. They have a life event. Maybe they've inherited money, or maybe they sell the stock, or just maybe, you know, got a bonus at work. And they say, well, you know, I need to come park this money, but I don't know what I want to do with it right now. I'm like, fine. That is perfectly fine. Just take that time, you know, really as long as you want to figure out where you want to give it to. Or maybe you're trying to save up, you know, your church or your school or something is doing a building project and you want to be able to make a gift to that later on down the road. So we manage well over 212 different funds, and I say they're all very different. And so that's, to me, the secret sauce of the Community Foundation is we can kind of really craft basically like a charitable strategy for people and try to figure out, you know, what's the best way. You know, sometimes people come in and they know specifically the charities and exactly what they do. And then sometimes they're like, you know, I don't know. I love kids, or I love trees, or I love dogs, or whatever. And so then we kind of look, survey the community and see what groups are out there doing good in those areas. And then sometimes we've had some really cool ideas from donors that we just kind of have to craft and put it together. And that's really the fun part. That's a lot of fun.
And like make it real for them, like figure out the way. See, this is great information because people can understand that, you know, this isn't just a, here's a form, you know, do what you mm-hmm. gotta. No, this is, you guys are really hands-on helping yes. like craft yeah. the strategies as how mm-hmm. to best use these funds.
Yeah, I mean, just as much as people have, you know, personal budgets or maybe personal finance strategies, then, you know, we're crafting this philanthropic because, you know, in fact, I just had this conversation 2 days ago with a potential donor, and he was like, well, you know, at the end of my life, because we do a lot of estate planning too, he's like, I want to give to X, Y, Z charity. And I was like, you know, that would be great. However, sometimes when you dump just a chunk of money into a charity, sometimes they ramp up and then they can't sustain it. So what is, sometimes you can do more harm than good. I mean, you think you're doing good, but maybe not. And so then kind of developing maybe a sustainable strategy for that gift maybe to come in at a certain percentage every year. So then that charity, maybe that takes the pressure off of that charity from maybe having to raise that extra $5,000 a year or $10,000 a year or whatever it is. And then it doesn't cause, you know, harm. It actually helps.
Well, you know, we're talking about generosity, you know, mm-hmm. the season of giving that we're yeah. at here now. Some folks may be wishing that they, you know, they had a little extra money that they could mm-hmm. turn around and donate mm-hmm. To the community foundation. Well, guess what? This is your chance. We're about to take our first commercial break, but before we do, it's time for the random Christmas trivia cash giveaway question. And don't answer, Kim. You may know. So don't say the answer.
I thought you just put me on the spot.
No. Trust me. You can't answer.
Okay.
But the folks that are tuning in at home, they can, and you know, don't put the answer in the chat or anything. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. When I ask the question and you know the answer, all you got to do is visit this station's website or graticcommunications.com. You click on the random Christmas trivia banner. You enter your name, email, phone, and your answer. One entry from the correct answers will be picked at random daily. And that contestant will win $100 cash. A great gift
wow.
for the community foundation.
I can do a lot
right?
of good.
See? Right? If you enter more than one time per day, however, your entry will be disqualified for that day. So don't be spamming us. Poor Dwayne can only process through the entries, you know, one at a time. And then on December 14th, which is this Saturday between noon and 2, one of our 12 daily winners, along with a 13th winner selected at random that morning, will have a chance to turn that $100 into $1,000.
Wow.
Now, Kim.
That's phenomenal.
What could $1,000 do
that
for the community foundation?
That could do a lot of good.
You hear that? You heard it here, folks.
And forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen. All right, and you could win $1,000 at the live remote broadcast this Saturday at Carrollton Ice, the new covered outdoor ice rink located at the Polar Pavilion at East Carrollton Rec Center. So I'm going to ask you the question for today, Thursday, December 12th. Do not write the answer in the chat. If you know, again, go click on the tab on our website, and you can enter and maybe win that money and turn around and give that money to the community foundation.
And get a tax break.
You have until December 31st. So make a gift, and you can get that tax break.
Yep.
Today's questions. What are the four main food groups according to Buddy the Elf? And that is from the film Elf with Will Ferrell. A question again. What are the four main food groups according to Buddy the Elf? If you know the answer, go on the website, click the tab, put it in. Maybe you'll win. Give it to Kim Jones.
Not to Kim Jones, Community Foundation.
Give it to the Community Foundation. She'll make sure it gets spent well. All right, time is 8:42. We're going to go and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation of West Georgia, as we chat about the connector and so much more. So stay with us. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And welcome back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Today's Thursday, December 12th, and I'm very pleased to have Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation of West Georgia. Kim and her organization do incredible work. Incredible work. At one point, I was on the receiving end of that incredible work when I worked with Keep Care Beautiful. They have done so many amazing things for to support and help grow and nurture and cultivate nonprofits in our area, and we're so glad to have her back in the studio. So, all right, Kim, we have our first question.
Dun-dun-dun.
So we have a question in the chat here from Juan Carlos Ferrero, and he says, how bad is poverty in our region?
It's not great, that is for sure. So right now, I think, you know, if you look at census numbers, we're about 25%, so one out of every four people is in poverty. However, what I think is misconstrued by that number, while that number is not good at all, and we're actually higher than the state average, is there's a whole category out there that is called the working poor. There's actually an acronym called ALICE. It's who are asset limited folks who are currently working. They just don't have enough assets to really kind of survive. One flat tire, one dead battery, and they're toast. Mm. And so that to me is probably one of the most concerning groups that we're seeing to grow, quite honestly, based on housing costs. You know, I think everywhere I go, I mean, locally and statewide, and even my colleagues across the country, we're all having this exact same conversation. You know, and if you look at like the average starting wage of a police person, fire, teacher, they're just starting wages. And then you turn around and look about, okay, well, where can they live? We've basically, you know, there is nowhere for them to live. And so, you know, if these little soapbox here, I guess, but you know, if we want and need these people in our community, we've got to provide housing for them. And the vast majority of these folks in our community right now, they are working, but they're just, the wages just aren't matching what the housing costs are. There's a huge gap there. So
yeah, one mentions, you know, house affordability is bad in our area. I mean, it yes. seems to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's even, you know, it was so funny. I was talking to someone in Atlanta the other day, and they were talking about their housing cost, and he quoted that, you know, an average one-bedroom apartment in Atlanta is like, you know, $1,700, $1,800. And I said, well, gosh, in Carrollton, it's $1,500, $1,600. He's like, really? That's that high thing? I'm like, yes. I mean, so it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a major metropolitan area. I mean, it's the whole affordability issue is huge. And so I do think, you know, we've got to figure out a way to address this. And, you know, most of these folks, they're not looking for the 2,000, 2,500 square foot house, you know, really and truly, you know, 11, 1,200 is really, you know, what they want. And so I just think that we've seriously got to look at, you know, some opportunities so our folks can live and work here, because, you know, the last thing any of us want is a, you know, is a community where people commute in and then they commute out.
Yeah, because they're not spending money locally.
They're not spending money locally. They can't afford to stay here. And because what builds community is people who participate, who after work are coaching little league teams, who are at the civic clubs, who are involved in the church or the religious community in our counties. And so, you know, you just, we have to protect that. And I know everybody's the whole NIMBY, not my backyard, but I do think there's some areas of the county, all three counties, that we could possibly look at development and be smart. I mean, back in the old days, I started out as a planner, you know, you had more density, you know, in and around where the services were. And so maybe we need to go back and relook at some old planning principles of having people, because really right now, there is nowhere you can walk to work affordably. You know, the wages, because when I know these different organizations had to put people up in hotels or, you know, in apartments, you know, you want to try to get them, because they may not have a car or transportation, how can you put them close to work and an affordable wage where what they're going to be making is going to pay for that apartment? And we just don't have that right now.
Such good information. Thank you, Juan Carlos Ferrero, for your comment. That is part, that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. We get good questions like that. We get amazing information like that. So why don't we chat a bit about the Connector? It's been a few months since we had you on the program to talk about the Connector. If you could, let's fill the listeners in on exactly what the Connector is.
Sure.
And maybe we could chat a bit about its development up to this point and where we're at.
Sure. As people know, you know, we don't have United Way here. And so the question that we've been dealing with literally probably almost since I've been at the foundation has been, how do people find resources? And we knew it was a challenge. And so, in fact, I had pastors, what kind of got us down this path almost 18 years ago, was a pastor said, look, you know, somebody walks in the door of the church and needs assistance. And we literally, this is a really old school answer, pull out the phone book and literally start going A to Z to try to find these organizations. And so we've had different versions of this, but about a year or so, year and a half ago, we did some research and really found out it was very, very difficult to try to find resources. So the next step was we went out to the market to try to find software. It didn't exist. I'm giving you kind of the very Cliff Note version of this. And we ended up having to hire a firm out in California to develop the software. We had some very generous donors who helped to do that. The software actually went live in June of this year, and it has been incredible. How it basically works is people in need go to the connectorwga.org, and they fill out an application. They click in there what they need, and then that in turn will match them with organizations in our community that provide that assistance. Mm-hmm. The good thing is that they're not matched with someone that doesn't have the resources, and so that's been one of the frustrations, is that they get a list of names and numbers. They go there or they call, oh, I'm sorry, I'm out of funds, or it's not the right day. So people can apply to literally 24/7. We were averaging about, I think it was about 10 to 15 applications a day. We're now going more than 20-25 applications a day.
Wow.
Part of that's in due to the uptick, or I guess the drop in temperatures we had a few weeks ago, and I'm sure this one too. People are getting utility bills now that are pretty high, and they're, you know, really trying to try to cover Christmas, you know, to do gifts to their kids and their family, and then also just trying to figure out how they're going to make everything work. But in fact, Julie was just telling me she works closely with the connector. We have had more applications coming in December 1st through the 9th than we've had from June to November 30th.
No way.
So, and, you know, and the other flip side of that is the requests are far outpacing the resources available. And so once a nonprofit fully commits the resources they have, they click off. And so there is nobody else to, I mean, you know, the applications are sitting there, and they unfortunately get an email that said, I'm sorry, we're unable to match you because there's not resources right now. So we're unfortunately having to send more of those emails out than we're able to help people.
And it really puts in perspective Juan's comment earlier, you know, like it's putting in perspective the need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many contributing factors to those needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not a one size fits all. I mean, and honestly, you know, I think there's like 22 boxes they can check of needs. But by far what outpaces is people's request for shelter. And then financial assistance. So financial assistance could be for everything from deposits. I'm trying to get in an apartment. I may have first month's rent, but I don't have the deposit. Or they're trying to stay in the current apartment or house that they're in. Or it may be, you know, utility assistance. And that's probably the top three or four requests that we get, you know, consistently.
So is there anything that listeners could do? And I know that's a big ask, but is there anything that listeners could do to help bridge that gap? To assist with the connectors, you know, to assist with this whole process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we are doing some enhancements to the software. So obviously, you know, to help kind of fund the connector to keep it going. I will tell you, it's kind of a twist to the whole story, was that the word had gotten out beyond our community about the connector. So we're not having communities to call us and saying, hey, we want that. We need that, because it really just kind of reduces that duplication, because once someone goes into the connector, then all the nonprofit partners see, like, where Kim Jones has been. And so we're, you know, it addresses that age-old issue of, oh, well, people are going everywhere to get money. No, they're not really. But we can basically reduce all that duplication and really kind of get to the heart of what's going on with people. So we actually had a great group of Georgia Tech students this past semester who did a market feasibility study to see, is there a market for the software? And the answer was yes. So now we've applied, and I just got word last night about 9:00. We got picked for a second team of pro bono consultants. And so they're going to be doing some additional work about, you know, trying to get the software ready to go to market, which, you know, it's not necessarily that we're trying to develop this for the world, but number one, we feel like we've got a good product that we could share and could also help other communities with some of the strange challenges we were having. In addition to, we hope that it'll create a revenue stream that will help us to help more people. So there's kind of a dual purpose. But yeah, I mean, there's particularly, if anyone wants to help, I mean, our nonprofits in the community that are providing food assistance, they desperately need help right now. Their numbers are skyrocketing. As you can, and to some of the sources that they used to get food from, like the Atlanta Community Food Bank, they're not getting the donations they used to get, and so there's not as much food that our local nonprofits can get. And then also any of the nonprofits that are particularly trying to assist with housing, those are the two main areas. If people, you know, want to help, those are the two main areas that really need some help right now.
Time is 8:54. We're going to go and take our last commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with the great and powerful Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation. You are. No, you're a powerful and amazing person.
Wait, no, it takes a team.
Yeah, well, you do have quite the team. We got the Community Foundation magazine.
Yeah, those are some partners with a connector.
Oh, these are partners here. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out. Excellent, excellent. Well, definitely get a copy of this transformation.
And it's on our website.
You got to check it out on the website. Kim, yeah, I know. I always love getting to talk to you because we always get the best information, and we always are able to, when we're able to check some things off the list and talk about them, I know that on the back end that is going to result in assistance to more and more people.
Yeah.
We're going to take our last break. We come back. We'll wrap up our conversation with Kim Jones. And if you have any last-minute questions or comments, hop in on the chat on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page. I'd be happy to read those out to her in the time we have left. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be, too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Very, very pleased to have Kim Jones, president of the Community Foundation of West Georgia, in the studio with us today. And if you're just tuning in, we've been chatting about a lot, most importantly, needs in the community, as well as updates on the connector. We do have another comment that just came in from Bridget Stewart. She wanted to say to Kim, thank you for all you do for our community, Kim.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, Bridget.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Bridget, for your comment. We have about 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So if you could, I know you wanted to touch on how businesses can get involved.
Sure. There's a lot of ways. Obviously, they could do, the canned food drives are always really helpful, but then also just, kind of engage with some of our nonprofits. I mean, I often say, this is great for what people do at the holidays, and that it's all very much appreciative. But the other thing is people are hungry and people have needs 364 other days of the year. And, and if all of our churches or our businesses just, quote unquote, adopted a nonprofit for a year, how can we support you? What can we do? I just really think it would provide some additional infrastructure help to them, to keep going. So if they're not quite sure who or what or how, all they got to do is call our office, 770-832-1462, or reach out to us through our website, www.cfwg.net. But anyway, we're more than happy to help make those connections for people. And also, too, I do kind of want to dispel one thing. A lot of people think, only gazillionaires or people with a ton of money can participate in the Community Foundation. That is not true. I mean, we have people who give us like $10 a month, and then we put that with somebody else's $10 and somebody else's $10. And then that enables us to do, the grant programs that we do. So there's really multiple entry points at multiple, I guess price points, that's not really a good term, but everybody can be a philanthropist. So it's everything from a can of corn to, a few dollars or their time. I mean, right now, some of our nonprofits really just need volunteers to come in and help people, just kind of, particularly through the connect. What we're finding is that some of these folks are working and they just need somebody to sit down and kind of help them make a budget, kind of figure out, help them prioritize. If you're going to pay for certain things, what do you pay for here and not pay for there? Mm-hmm. And then maybe, you know, if you could pick up an extra day or, you know, a little bit of overtime, you know, or maybe a second job, you know, just temporarily, just to kind of get them out of a hole. So really and truly, and you know, I mean, our community, all three counties have been extremely generous, and they continue to be generous. And that's why, you know, it makes it all work.
Well, we are out of time now, but one more time, website where folks can learn more.
CFWG.net. And phone number 770-832-1462. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and all that, and they can certainly message us through those as well.
Kim, I got to parrot what Bridget said. Thank you for all that you and the organization does. There's so much, so many people involved. We appreciate everything you do. And
sure.
To everyone who tuned in today, thank you for tuning in with us. We'll see you next time.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WL